master's plan. It's God's and God's alone. God and God alone is fit to take the universe's throne. Let everything that lives reserve its truest praise. Joy of our eternal home. He will be our one desire. Our hearts will never tire of God and God alone. God and God alone is fit to take the universe's throne. Let everything that lives reserve its truest praise for God and God alone. Let everything that lives reserve its truest praise for God and God alone.
Thank you, Shelley. Let's stand together, please, if you are able. And turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. 1 Samuel 17. Friday night we had our last adult class fellowship at my house. Yeah, it was bad. It's a deaf ministry. Okay. Yeah, they were there till 11:45. They wanted to stay later, but I was dropping hints like, guess what? You're not breaking the record tonight, Cowboys. As we've went through this, I want to say one thing. Thank you, Filipino ministry. You left the earliest. 10:30, okay? And so next year, our goal next year is we're going to have a contest. Who leaves earliest? All right? So I said this year was who leaves the latest, but listen. Yeah. But we had a great time, and I thank you. If you didn't get to come, I'm glad, actually. No. Shame on you. We missed you. And so when we do them again next time, you're welcome to come, and we always have a good time, but that's for another time. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 30 to 40. We are done with our stewardship series, In God We Trust. Now we're back to our series on David and Goliath. Is there not a cause facing the giants in our life? And so we're picking up the story where we left off last time. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse number 30, and we'll read to verse number 40. We'll pray. We'll let you be seated. And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. This is when David found out what would happen if someone killed Goliath. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Bless our few minutes as we can pick up where we left off. God, encourage us about our own lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Many people talk about attaining greatness and accomplishing. When we think about attaining greatness, when we think about accomplishing something great in this world, we have flawed theories about how that happens. Some people attribute what happens in their life to luck. There is no such thing as luck. Some people, you know, attribute it to, well, that person was able to do that because, you know, everything was given to them. It was a gift. Some people attribute it to, well, you know, they were just born with that. That's just who they are. And of course, they can do great things. Just the natural. Some people feel that people are, what they accomplish, it's undeserved. But the fact is, spiritual greatness in life is never an accident. Never an accident. God wants us to accomplish great things. God wants us to have a purpose in our life. It's not just a result of being in the right place at the right time. Fact of the matter is, if you end up at the right place at the right time, it's because God put you there. He was outside of yourself. If we are following God, it is a predetermined path that God leads us along if we're willing to accept it. But it comes in steps. You know, we always want the end game. We always want the success. We always want the good results. We're not willing to put in the effort that it takes to get to those results. If you look at David, the end game of David was he ended up being vice president of Egypt. He ended up being in charge. Everything ended up well, not just for him, but for his family. But nobody would like to take the steps that David had to take to get there. Okay? Imprisoned by his own brothers. Really, they were going to kill him. Sold as a slave. Ending up in Potiphar's house and things going well there, and yet being falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. And then being thrown in prison and rising really to the top of the prison food chain and helping to run the prison. And then helping a couple of Pharaoh's servants by telling their dreams and them forgetting about him for another few years. And yet all of a sudden he ends up vice president. There's steps that are taken before we get to where God wants us to be. And we must be willing to take those steps. We must be willing to take the good along with what we perceive to be the bad. When we left off, where we left off in the story 3 or 4 weeks ago, David was not part of the army. They're fighting the Philistines, and David's not even part of the army. His 3 older brothers are in the army. David's at home, the youngest, and he's tending the flocks and taking care of the herds and just being a son. On the battlefront, things aren't really going well. The armies are lined up. And they're really not fighting. They've not engaged yet. And every morning when they get up and they all get in array and they get ready to go, here comes Goliath running his mouth and challenging them, saying, give me your man to fight me. By the way, Goliath was a huge guy. I can see why no one wanted to step up. And he talks trash and let's fight. And the Philistines are in fear. And so they're doing this day after day after day. David's father sends David to take some food to his brothers on the battle, which would not be unusual for that time period. And David goes there, and he's bringing his brothers some food. And when David's there bringing his brothers some food, here comes Big Mouth. David hears what Goliath is saying, and David's like, what is that all about? Well, the men tell David that, you know, listen, this guy here, and Saul's offered a bunch of presents to the guy that will take him down. family will be free from taxes. I think he was offering his daughter, which that may not necessarily have been a blessing, but he's offering him, and so they're going to take care of him. And David hears that, and then David's brother criticizes him. And David makes the statement in response to his brother's criticizing him, saying, listen, doesn't matter if it's me or you, isn't there a cause here? This guy needs to be dealt with. Now, as we get to the story, word gets to Saul that David is ready to fight this guy. So he goes and talks to Saul. As he's talking with Saul, he's going to find that Saul's not really excited about what he is going to do. But David is taking this up because David sees it as more than just a military battle. David sees it as an offense to God. David sees it as an offense to the armies of God. David saw Goliath as nothing more than an oversized pagan that needed to be dealt with. And so David is willing to stand. No one else was. Saul wasn't willing to stand. They were all running away in fear. By the way, sometimes Christians get we're mean-spirited or this or that, but you know, some we're not, but there are some things that you know, you just need to stand up for sometimes. There are some things, we're not trying to be mean-spirited, but it's almost like, does anybody see what I see? Does anybody hear what I hear? Has anybody ever looked in the Bible and saw what's going on? David's looking around. I can see him like, I'm not the only one hearing this. This loudmouth is blaspheming our God. He's a pagan. He's defying God. Does nobody get the memo? And so he's willing to stand. Someone has said that those that aren't willing to stand for anything will fall for everything. Christians are to be kind, loving, and compassionate. But at the other hand, we're not supposed to be silent and inactive. That's not loving either. But David's not like that. So he goes to see Saul, and Saul, in my mind, is a little convicted by the fact that here comes this kid, this little kid, compared to Saul. Here's Saul, the biggest guy in the army. He should be out there taking care of Goliath. But he's so far from God, that ain't going to happen. And so he tries to talk him out of it. Then he's like, well, here, wear my armor, and David ain't having it. He's like, this stuff isn't working. This is okay. God will take care of it. And off he goes. But what I want you to see and what I want us to see this morning is David's step of faith in fighting Goliath wasn't something that just happened right there. It wasn't some kid that never did anything. And then all of a sudden, pop. He's going to fight the toughest guy probably in the face of the earth at that time. There are some things that God did to prepare David for the greatness that awaited him. And not in a worldly sense, but in a sense of great for the word of God and great for the Lord God. It's as we face and conquer the challenges placed in front of us that we are preparing for the challenges that are still ahead of us. That's what was going on in David's life. You see, all of us are going to face challenges in life. And God never gives us a challenge that we cannot face successfully. But if we don't successfully face the challenges he gives us, we will never be prepared for the challenges that await us. We have to be ready. We have a wrong view of greatness. For our context today and what we've been talking about, greatness is found in doing the will of God for our lives. We talk about purpose. What is the purpose? Our purpose is to live for God. Our purpose is to honor and glorify God and fulfill His will on this earth. And that involves so many things. It involves our families, raising our families correctly, making sure we stand guard around our families and making sure that we're doing everything on our end to make sure our children have what they need to turn out right. Our greatness is found in serving our Lord, being available to say, God, what do you have for me? What do you want me to do? Yes, we all have things in our life that we have to take care of on a daily basis. I understand that. But inside of that also, there are some things that God wants us to do specifically for him. Greatness is found as we reach out to this lost world, as we reach out to those that need to know our God. Greatness is found in living daily for God and striving to be somebody as our, and they didn't put the banners back up yet, as our theme this year is making a difference. Whoever didn't put them back up, let's make sure we do that, okay? Making a difference. See, we complicate things. We look so far down the road of what we're trying to accomplish that we don't realize we can't even comprehend what's down the road. All we can deal with is what's tomorrow. And if we deal with what's tomorrow, we'll get to what's down the road. But most of us struggle on a daily basis. How did David prepare for greatness, and how can we be prepared for greatness? Well, first of all, David prepared for greatness in his convictions. Convictions. See, David had some deep-rooted things he believed because of God, because of Scripture, and David was never going to be pushed off of those things. And because of his conviction, that helped to prepare him for everything that was going to come his way. Look at verse 32. I just like David's statement. Saul calls him in, and David says to Saul, Saul probably heard, hey, there's some kid that came down to the camp. The kid should be taking care of the flock, but this kid came down here, and he's saying he's going to go take Goliath out, and they send him. And Saul hears about this, and David walks in, and he says, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine. Said, that's all. Said, Saul, I don't know. Look, let me just lay it out here. Let's just get this out of the way. Don't worry about it. Don't let anybody be afraid. I'm going to go take care of this. That takes conviction. That takes somebody that knows what he believes, that knows what's right, and doesn't care who is against it. Conviction. He saw it. Look at this was a battle. I mean, come on. They weren't out there to look nice in their military uniforms. That was the enemy. Those people were pagan. Those people hated David and his God. And David said, someone's got to stand up. And David, his whole life had been like that. And so when the time presented itself, he said, don't worry about it, Saul. I got it covered. I'll go. He's not even part of the army. He wasn't even part of the ROTC. Okay? He was the lunch delivery guy. He was bringing food to the guys. And he says, enough of this. I'll do it. Got it covered. I like that. Where are the people of conviction? Where are the people that say, look, David didn't go there looking for fight. But he didn't run from one. The rest of the guys that were there to fight ran from it. The guy that wasn't there to fight ran to it. You see, it's very important as Christians that we take Christianity seriously. It's very important if we're going to be successful in what God wants us to do, that we get in on what he says. Conviction says, if God says it, I'm in. If that's what God wants, I'm in. And David had that conviction. Saul was confused about it. Look at how Saul questions him in verse 33. Yeah, I mean, you think you would be happy that someone's like gonna fight this guy that's been torturing them for 40 days. Verse 3, Saul said to David, thou art not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. He's like, hey, David, reality check. The guy is 9'5". Now, what does that mean? Dude was large. And I guarantee he wasn't thin. He wasn't a vegetarian. Okay? He probably would have loved the men's meeting. He eats meat. Fire, meat, fun. Okay? I mean, this was a big guy. And Saul's like, do you know what's going on here? Maybe David didn't have his glasses on. I don't know. But Saul is trying to talk him out of it. Saul wanted someone to fight him. And again, it should have been Saul. But Saul didn't like the choice. By the way, it's funny. When we live by conviction and commitment, that makes some people uncomfortable. You know why? It convicts those that don't have any convictions. That's why they'll say things to you. That's why if you work somewhere and you're a Christian, you let them know you're a Christian, they'll try to tear you down. They'll try to find, you know why? Because they want to find a way to bring you to their level so that they don't have to believe what you believe. Because it's convicting when you live your faith. Not being mean-spirited, but it's convicting when it's like, this guy believes there must be something different about him. And that's a good thing. Okay? People don't have to understand what we believe, but they ought to understand that we do believe. Conviction. It probably was an embarrassment to Saul in his position. He should have been the one. And Saul might have been thinking it was just a, practically speaking, this could be a disaster. David goes out there and gets hammered. It's like, we're going to lose this battle. But at least he was willing to fight. Let me just say this. Whenever something becomes a conviction in your life, someone's going to question you on it. They may not come out and say it, but they're going to try to question you and get you to do, you know, like, I go to church. So they're going to invite you to a party during church time. You know, I don't drink, so they're going to try to give you a drink. Just whatever it is, that's how people are. We see also that there was obstacles. He told them, thou art a youth. That's true. And he, a man of war from his youth. That is true. And he should have said, and you're a runt. And he's a giant. There's obstacles. But that's okay. You see, Saul looked at it from sight. David small, Goliath big. David a youth, Goliath a warrior. David looked at it from faith. He's a pagan. I worship God. He has a big mouth. I need to shut it up. That's how David saw it. It was faith. Sometimes, and I understand common sense. We have to look at things from common sense, but I also understand that we have to walk by faith. We have to look at things from God's perspective sometime, and sometimes when we look at things from God's perspective, it doesn't seem so normal in our perspective. So we have to have conviction. Secondly, there has to be confidence. Look at verse 34 to 36. And David said to Saul, thy servant, now he's going to try to make Saul feel a little bit better about this thing. Thy servant kept thy father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. Okay, now, that's me. It's like, we had 199. There's not much difference, but not David. And I went after him and smote him. Smote him means hit him. And delivered it out of his mouth. He saved the sheep. And when he rose against me, after he saved, he hit it, got the sheep out of his mouth, then it turns on David, and I caught him by his beard. That's why you shouldn't have a beard. Just kidding. And smote him and slew him. David didn't say, I did this quick move and got the sheep, and we climbed up a tree, and everything was good. David finished the job. Like, this guy is. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And then he applies the truth of Scripture. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing it defied the armies of the living God. See, one of the reasons David could step up wasn't just his conviction, but he also had confidence because God had already worked in his life. Now look, I don't know about you. If I'm walking through a dark alley and there's a bunch of bad guys in the alley, I want to be with somebody who's killed a lion and a bear. That's the guy I want on my side. Okay, because really, if he's walking down the dark alley and he's killed the lion and the bear, he is the dark alley. Those guys are in trouble. He had some confidence because he had already allowed God in his job as being a shepherd to work in his life. He had already seen some things. He had fulfilled his responsibilities. He didn't just let it go. When they were taken away, he didn't just say, that's a tax write-off. One less sheep. He said, it's my responsibility to fulfill this. And probably God's spirit was right there. And he said, it's not happening on my watch. They are not taking the sheep while I am on duty. And he just translated over to Goliath. I am not going to sit here, even though I'm not in the army, and listen to this guy to fight a God. I'm here. It's my responsibility. So he took the responsibility from the sheep and he translated it to Goliath. And then he won the victory. God gave him victories. Do you know victories, no matter how small, help you to gain confidence for later on? But when you lose, that also destroys your confidence for later on, right? One of the best football teams, they're not considered it, but they were the Buffalo Bills. They went to 4 straight Super Bowls. You know why they're not considered one of the best teams of all time? They lost all 4. But you know where they lost all 4? The very first one. They were a way better team. It came down to the last play of the game. They were down by 1. They had an easy field goal to win that game, and they lost it. I heard the story. Their 4th Super Bowl, they actually led at halftime. And as they were walking, they were playing the Dallas Cowboys, a team which I despise. Just kidding, Tony, I love you. The Cowboys said as they were walking to the locker room, Buffalo had dominated them that half. And Tony Aikman said, as they walked to the locker room, I'm watching this team, and they weren't smiling. They had no energy. They weren't happy. He goes, and I knew they were just waiting for one thing to go wrong because they'd already lost the other 3, and they were going to fall apart. And he goes, I knew at that point we're going to beat them. And that's exactly what happened. They got smoked the second half. But you know what happens when you win? You start gaining confidence. You know what happens when God starts working in your life and you get little small victories? You start understanding, it's like God's way of saying, trust me. And once you see those, you'll be able to make it, and God will give you more and more and more. And he took care of those, and he had the confidence that he needed. The victories gave David a base on which to build for his fight against Goliath. How else did David prepare? His considerations. In other words, he considered the task that needed to be done. Verse 37, he said, moreover, the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Saul realized he couldn't argue anymore, and Saul said unto him, go, and the Lord be with thee. What was David considering before he went on there? He was considering that he was not fighting alone. See, David didn't say, you know, when I was younger, I took these jujitsu classes. And when that bear came at me, I did a ha, ha, ha. He said, God delivered me out of the paw of both of them. See, he recognized God had done it. He didn't take credit for it. Isn't that the problem? Whenever something good is happening in our life, what do we always do? We turn right around and say, you know, we start taking credit for it. See, some of us are not, how many of you are first-generation Christian? In other words, your family wasn't saved, you basically are it. Come on, raise your hand. We have quite a few. I'm first-generation. See, what happens first-generation, we come in and we're a mess sometimes when we came in. Are you with me? When we came in, it's like, brother, there was only one way to go, and it was up. And then we start going up. You know what happens? We become spiritual snobs. And we start thinking better about ourselves than we really are. Instead of looking back and saying, I can't believe we're in the world. I can't believe where I am. Look what God has done. God's done some pretty good things. By the way, if you're not first generation, thank God for where you're at, because God can pull the rug out from underneath you too. In fact, the matter is, for some of you that have grown up in Christian families, you better be careful and understand, doesn't matter what kind of family you were raised in, it's God that does everything that's good in your life. David got that. And then lastly, I want you to see David's choice. Choiced. Verse 39. And Saul armed David with his armor. Now, you understand, Saul's a pretty good-sized guy. Head and shoulders above everybody. That wasn't the shampoo he used. And he put on a helmet of brass upon his head. So Saul gets his huge outfit, starts dressing David, who's smaller than him. It's not going to fit. So he puts it all on in verse 39. And David girded his sword upon his armor. David's like, and he essayed to go. He didn't want to go, for he had not proved it. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off. I like that. David said, this may be the best. By the way, Saul was a king. That was the best armor money could buy. And David said, yeah, but I don't, it's not going to work for me. I've not proved it. It's not worked for me in the past. I've not used it. I'm not doing it. So he goes with what he knows will work. Stones and a sling. That was it. Can you imagine? He goes out to, we'll see it next week. He goes out. Here comes Goliath. Goliath is armed to the teeth. I mean, he's got everything. Not only that, he's got an armor bearer in front of him who's loaded up. And here comes David in just, you know, shepherd's clothes. He's got a sling. He's got some rocks in a bag. And Goliath thinks, you've got to be kidding me. By the way, David doesn't even have a sword. You'll see when Goliath goes down, he's like, how do I cut his head off? Rocks are good, but you can't cut people's head off with a rock. He had to borrow Goliath's sword. But you know what he did? He chose what he knew worked. Way too many Christians are socially minded. In other words, we say we're Christians, but our worldview is non-Christian. Our belief system comes from the garbage we're watching on television, from the nonsense we're listening to all of it, the schooling we're taking. And those thoughts are in our mind, and here comes the truth of Scripture, and they combat, and we default to that which doesn't work. David had the right choice. He chose that which he knew worked. Now, it goes back to the confidence, because his confidence wasn't in himself. His confidence was in God, and he realized, if I have God, the stones are going to work. And they did. He chose the right tools. Now, let me ask you this morning, what challenges are you facing? You say, well, right now, things are pretty good. Well, let me tell you something. Someday, you're going to face something. And how you get through it is going to depend on what you are doing now. You have conviction? I mean, are there some things in life that you're just willing to stand up for? Most Christians are convictionless. We believe something only if it's popular at the time, only if it won't cause a ripple. Where's your confidence today? Where is it in yourself? I can get through this. Yeah, right. I can do all things. But you don't forget the last two words. Through Christ. You see, God wants to do things in our life, but it starts with where we're at. God will never give you something you can't get through. You say, I'm struggling with something today. You know what? If God's put that on your place, you can do it. You can get through it. And that will prepare you for what God has for you later. Let's stand together this morning.